This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What a beautiful week we have had. The signs of life and spring around us are encouraging my spirit, and I hope they are yours as well. And I'm glad that we're here together in this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome you if you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. We're so glad to be together in the Spirit of Christ this morning. And I would invite you to take a moment to register your attendance and let us know you're here. If you're online, there's a link that you can put in your browser to sign in. And here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that you can pass down the row and back again. If you're visiting with us, we would love for you to share an email address or a cell phone number or a mailing address, so that we can reach out to you and begin to share with you the ways that we're trying to live out God's love in our community. A few announcements as we gather this morning. After the late service, the college students are invited to gather for lunch. So if you're here in this service, we hope you'll come back at noon and gather with that group. We are just a few days away from the beginning of the season of Lent, and a week from Tuesday on February 21st, we'll have our annual Pancake Supper and Jazz Mass to celebrate Shrove Tuesday. There are details in the bulletin about how to RSVP for pancakes. The next day is Ash Wednesday. We'll have a service of worship at noon and another at 6:15, and we invite you to come to one of those services to begin the 40-day journey of Lent. Throughout those 40 days, on Thursdays, we'll have a concert at noon here in the sanctuary, followed by lunch. And those details, again, should be in the bulletin and in your Friday emails. This morning, right after this service, upstairs in the Fourth Story Theater, we invite anyone who would like to come to hear about the Michael Williams Storytelling Fund. I shared a little bit about this in my Friday email. At UT Southern, they are pulling together an endowment for storytelling to help enhance their curriculum, and it is in honor of Michael Williams. And if you would like to learn more about that and how you can support that endowment, we invite you to come upstairs to learn more. Finally, during our worship service, during the offertory anthem, our choir will be singing a piece that involves the congregation. We'll be invited to sing the refrain, and our music intern, Bethany DeSantis, will be cueing us from the choir loft right about there. So if you will watch her and join in singing the choir anthem this morning. We're making our way through the scriptures together as a congregation, and this morning we find ourselves in the wilderness in the book of Numbers. So let us open our hearts and minds to this time in the wilderness to see where God might be leading us. Let us worship together.
Oh. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and that God's mercy has no end, let us make our confessions with the confidence of children of God. Holy God, like the Israelites in the wilderness, we get tired. We turn to complaining and grumbling. We forget the amazing things you have done for us. We forget the ways you are present among us. We would rather go back to bondage and suffer injustice than to take the harder path toward freedom. Forgive us, O God. Help us to move forward in your love, your grace, and your justice. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You can do this however you feel comfortable. Send a text to a friend. The peace of Christ be with you. Is the baptism of children. This morning, Michael and Emily Grace Riebling bring their daughter to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Michael and Emily Grace, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
I will.
And my friends in the congregation, she wants you to make your vows now. So I ask you as Christ's body, the church, to reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ. If you reaffirm those, please say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin, clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Hi. And what name have you given your daughter?
Margaret Elizabeth Reebling.
You want to go back to Mommy? Okay. Either way is just fine, Margaret Elizabeth. Margaret Elizabeth Reebling, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will guide you all the days of your life. Amen. And now, Margaret Elizabeth, I'm going to invite everyone up here to lay a hand on you or place a hand on Mommy or Daddy, and we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Margaret Elizabeth, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, Margaret Elizabeth, you want to take a little walk with me so we can get a little bit closer to your church family? Let's all go together. You can bring your bunny, too. Come with me. Because I want to introduce you to some folks, some of whom you may not have met yet. This is your church family. And these are the folks who are about to make a promise to help you learn about God's unconditional love for you and for all people by spending time among them. Some of them are going to teach you Sunday school. Some of them will be your vacation Bible school leaders. One of them might even be your confirmation mentor. As you grow and get bigger with your body, your faith is going to grow too. And these folks are going to help you do that. So let's listen as they make their vows and promises to you.
Will the congregation please stand and face Margaret Elizabeth? Now it's our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Margaret Elizabeth to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Margaret Elizabeth, and we welcome you in Christian love as members with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Joy, God, save, 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 joy, God, save Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. Then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become booty. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us choose a captain and go back to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the Israelites. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the Israelites, "The land that we went through as spies is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are no more than bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." But the whole congregation threatened to stone them. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people despise me? And how long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs that I have done among them?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are in the sanctuary to come forward if you want to and meet me up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. It's good to be with you this morning. Come on up. So glad to see everybody. Whoops, we left this notebook. Put that out of the way so someone can sit there. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. He does, doesn't he? Okay, glad to see everybody. Have any of you ever had a swimming lesson? Are any of you learning to swim? Yeah, lots of you are learning to swim. At Nana's apartment. Well, that's great. Well, I want to tell you about when I learned to swim. I don't remember how old I was. It wasn't an official lesson, but my mom and dad were taking turns teaching me to swim. And I have this memory of like getting into the pool and holding on to the wall really tightly. And my mom was like right there, and she kept saying, "Come on, Carol, you can let go. I'm right here. You know how to do it." And I clung to that wall, and I clung to that wall, and I was so afraid. And I thought, you know, I think I could just hang out on this wall and be happy for the rest of my life. But if I had done that, I would never have learned how to swim. So finally, I loosened my knuckles, and I held on with one hand, and there was my mom right there. And I let go, and I started to swim, and my mom took my hands, and she said, "Good, that's so good, keep going." And then she let go of my hands, but she was right there. In case I started to have trouble, she was going to be right there to catch me. And with her leading me, I made it all the way to the other side. And once I got to the other side, that meant I got an ice cream cone. So I have that memory of my mom just one step at a time leading me to the other side of the pool. But I never would have gotten there if I hadn't let go of the wall and trusted that my mom would be there to help me. We heard a story about the people of God, and they're afraid. God is trying to lead them somewhere, and they're afraid to let go of what they know. They finally do, and they finally get where God wants them to go. But I can understand when I read the story how hard it can be sometimes to let go. Let's pray together. Gracious God, help us to trust you. Help us not to be afraid to follow you and to know that you love us and you always will. In those times when we need courage, help us to trust. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. I'm sure you're all very good swimmers. If you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie. All right. Well, you get to go to Children's Church. If you're older than that, you can go sit back with parents. You are? You're going to be 4? That's so exciting. I'm going to do a little show and tell today. In my office, I have this picture hanging right by the door. I want you guys to see it too. It's actually a concert poster from when I sang with the Candler Choraliers in Divinity School. We were singing a piece composed by Samuel Sebastian Wesley, who was the grandson of Charles Wesley, who wrote many of the hymns that we sing in worship. And it's a piece entitled The Wilderness. And I keep this image hanging in my office because it's a very real and powerful image for me and for many of us, pretty much all of us, I think. I'm just going to leave it up here. The wilderness is a place of wandering. The wilderness is a place where we can't always see where we're headed. We don't always know where our next meal is coming from. The wilderness is a place of not knowing. And I can't tell you how many times in my own life or how many times I've sat with people in my office and listened to their story where I've been able to say, this sounds like a wilderness season. Maybe moving from one city to another or trying to discern whether to leave a job that feels like a dead-end job or a toxic workplace and have the courage to do something new. Or going through a season of grief, not knowing how or when life might feel different. There are times when we go through the wilderness as a congregation or as a denomination, when everything we thought we knew is in upheaval and changing, and we don't yet know where we're headed. Well, over and over and over again in the scriptures, we find ourselves in the wilderness. Just a few weeks ago, we met Moses in the wilderness. He had left the land of Egypt after killing an Egyptian soldier. He didn't quite know what his life's purpose was. He was tending his father-in-law's flocks in Midian, and that's where the burning bush appeared, and he got called by God. We find Jesus in the wilderness. We'll, in a couple of weeks, in the first Sunday of Lent, we'll find Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness, without food, without water, facing temptation from the devil before he begins his public ministry. It's a time of uncertainty, a time of transition and unknowing. We see the prophet Elijah in the wilderness. Again and again, the wilderness appears as a season for God's people. And it is a place where God's people spend a lot of time in the first few books of the Bible. As most of you know, we are making our way through the scriptures this year. This morning, we're in the book of Numbers, and the whole book of Numbers takes place in the wilderness. As a reminder, the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, had settled in Egypt at the end of the book of Genesis. By the beginning of the book of Exodus, they were living under deep oppression by the Pharaoh. He had put them to forced labor, had enslaved them. He had gone so far as to decree that every firstborn of the Hebrew children should be killed. It was a terrible place, bondage and suffering, and their groans went up to God, and God chose to deliver them through the leadership of Moses. And so we get the whole story of liberation. God opens the Red Sea, and the people leave their bondage and their slavery. And they're headed to a new land, to the Promised Land. But first, they spend time in the wilderness. When the book of Numbers opens, they're about somewhere between a year and 2 years into their time in the wilderness. They've been gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai, receiving the law from God through Moses. God is using this time to shape them and teach them the kind of people God wants them to be, how God wants them to treat each other, to treat the poor, how God wants them to worship. And so, in the first few chapters of Numbers, they are getting ready now. Having received the law, they're getting ready to set out for the Promised Land. And the word numbers refers to the census that is taken. They're counted, all the 12 tribes. There are over 600,000 of them at this point. And in chapter 10, the march begins to the Promised Land. And in chapter 11, the complaining starts. It's like you're heading out of the driveway and someone in the back seat says, "I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, are we there yet?" That starts happening in chapter 11. There's several cycles of the Israelites complaining. We're hungry, we're thirsty. You can hardly blame them, they're in the wilderness. They don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And every time they complain, they begin to look back to Egypt, that place of terrible bondage. And yet, they had food and they had water. And they begin to be drawn back into this place of bondage because the wilderness is too uncertain and too hard. But every time they complain, though God may be frustrated with them, God provides water from the rock, quail for them to eat, and manna every day. Now the manna, the word actually means whatchamacallit, what is it? The manna appears in the grass every morning like the dew, and the people are instructed to collect it and use it to make cakes and bread for their daily bread. But they can't collect more than they need. If they hoard it, whatever they've kept rots overnight. It's just enough for the day, except for the day before the Sabbath. Then they can collect twice as much, so they don't have to work on the Sabbath and they can rest fully. But every day, they have to trust in God to provide. Every night when they go to bed, they have to trust that manna will be there in the morning. And it is. Again and again, God proves God's faithfulness. And yet, again and again, they complain, they doubt. Until we get to this moment that we've heard from chapter 14. They have finally arrived on the edge of the Promised Land. They've been in the wilderness about 2 years. And God is ready for them to go and settle in the Promised Land. And they send out 12 spies. 12 scouts, one from each tribe, to go and check out the land and report back so they can know how to enter into the land. 10 of those scouts come back and say, "There's no way. There is no way we can get into this land. Sure, it's got great fruit, it's got milk and honey, but the people are huge. They're like twice as big as we are. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. They're well-armed, they're organized, there is no way we can do this." But there are two scouts, Caleb and Joshua, who tell a different story. Well, not quite a different story. They admit, yes, the people are big and strong, the land produces beautiful fruit, but it's not about us having the strength to go in, it's about God. And God has promised that we can settle in the Promised Land. We need to trust God. And so the people have before them the 10 scouts who are all about fear and only looking at what they can do themselves. And the two who are all about trust. and all about what God can do. So who do the people listen to? The 10. They give in to fear. And Brent read the passage where they're crying out to God, "Oh, I wish we had died in Egypt. I wish we would just die in the wilderness. Can't we just go back?" There's no way. And because of their doubt and fear, none of those who are alive in that moment get to enter the promised land, except for Caleb and Joshua. God is so frustrated with them and their lack of faith that God says, "Okay, that's what you want, that's what you'll get. The next generation will enter the promised land. You need more time in the wilderness to learn to trust me." And so it's 38 more years that they wander in the wilderness with God. And I look at their story. It's, you know, read Numbers in just a couple of hours, and I think, what is their problem? How can they not trust in God? I mean, God parted the Red Sea, for heaven's sake. God defeated the Pharaoh of Egypt. God liberated them from slavery in Egypt. And every step along the way, God has provided for them. God has traveled with them in a pillar of fire and a cloud of presence, never leaving them. How can they not trust God? And then I realized that their story is my story. How many times has God provided? How many times has God made a way when I thought there was no way? How many times has God brought comfort and just enough for the day to help me move another step forward? And yet when a new challenge comes, when the unknown faces me, I'm like those 10. It's too hard. It's too big. It's too unknown. I can't do it. And I fail to trust God. I can see in my own life, and I've seen so many times before in my conversations with other people, how we cling to the wall of that swimming pool. It's so much easier to stay with what we know, even if it may not be comfortable, even if it may be toxic and oppressive to us, than to let go and trust that God might have somewhere to take us and accompany us every step of the way. So I wonder if any of you this morning find yourselves in a place of wilderness, knowing that there is a path you could take, and you don't have all the answers, you don't have a roadmap, you don't know if you have the strength to take the leap. Then the story of the Israelites in the wilderness has something to speak into your life. Remember the manna. Open your eyes and hearts to the manna that God provides every day, to just take one day at a time. It'll be there, and it will be enough. Look in your life for the Calebs and the Joshuas, those people with the faith and courage to say, "God is with us. We can do this." And when you find yourselves clinging, to look for ways every day to loosen the grip just a little bit more and step out in faith. God led the people eventually into the promised land, but the journey wasn't over. There was another trial that came their way. Life is a journey, and we may arrive in the promised land in one way, but there's always going to be another challenge, another season of wilderness that comes before us. May we remember this story of the Israelites. May we remember our own stories, those times when God has been faithful, even though the journey was long. And may we have the courage to step out in faith and trust that God is with us. Amen.
Let us rise as we are able and stand and proclaim the faith that comes to us from the scriptures and from the preaching of the word. We are not alone. We are called to God's presence. We are sons in God's presence. And saved God, who is heaven and Lord Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us by His Holy Spirit. We are trusting in religion. We are called to be in the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link if you're with us in live stream. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks. You may fill those out and place them in the collection plates as they are passed in a few minutes. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of earth and sky, God of all that is beyond what our imaginations can fathom, and God of the here and now, thank you for making us welcome in your presence. We pray that you will accept our worship and praise, which we offer in song, prayer, spirit, and word. We seek your blessings of love, forgiveness, and grace. Make known to us your will for each of us and give us the courage and direction to obey. Show us where you are at work in this congregation, in our city, and in the world, so that we may join with you in what you're doing. We pray for this community of faith to which you have called us, so that we may prove faithful in all that we do in your name. We pray for our families, friends, neighbors, and for all peoples and creatures with whom we share life on this planet. We pray for those who mourn, for those who have been harmed by violence. We pray that everyone will have enough and that all of us may have the spirit of generosity to share. We pray for freedom from fear and want. We pray for our public and political life so that we may live in peace and kinship with all. God of our souls, we have committed to follow Jesus and to be his disciples. We wish to know his ways, hear his words, and be in awe of his works. By your grace, may we become his apostles and witness to his redemptive love until all the world names him Lord and Savior. And now we are bold to pray the prayer which our Jesus taught us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the pews. Now, during the singing of the offertory anthem, everyone is invited to join in singing the refrain as printed in your bulletin. So get your bulletins in hand now. Let us give with glad and generous hearts.
Before the Israelites set out on their journey, God gave them a blessing. This blessing comes from the book of Numbers, and may it bless each one of us as we go out to continue the journey, trusting that God is with us and will provide what we need. Hear now this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.